that being said, I don't think Chelsea are too worried, and it's good to have a have the players who are unsettling the squad because they don't want to be there out when the new manager comes in. If Chelsea can find a regular goal scorer up front, a striker who can actually score goals.
Morata scored a goal. He's got one for the season already. He's got Arsenal. It's fine. He scores. And we've got Giroud. He does stuff.
Giroud, the player who replaced Diego Costa.
Says a lot.
This does. I mean, Diego Giroud is a World Cup winner.
Yeah.
And he did do stuff for France in the World Cup. He started every game. And he did his role, which was to annoy the defense so that other people could score goals.
Stand there and pretend he was a striker so they would mark him and everybody else could score goals instead.
See, somehow, Spain had the same role for Diego Costa and he managed to score three.
And he only played like three games.
That's probably the worst thing that Conte did at Chelsea, I think.
Yeah. Bocciano, probably higher up that list of worst things he did, but yeah, it's pretty high up that list.
But it's all a clean sheet for Chelsea. I mean, Costa, good player that he is, and to be fair, I think new manager Costa would have been fine. He wouldn't have been like want away or anything. He would have been like, cool, I'm willing to fight for my place. And
that was full on personality clash. Yeah. Like, it was Costa wanting something, Conte just saying no, and then not even wanting to back down. And it just got to that position. And Conte was just like, well, if you don't do it my way, you don't play. And Costa was like, well, if I don't play, I'll sulk over here until you sell me.
Well, to be fair, Costa went, fair enough, I won't play, but if I'm not playing, you should sell me.
Yeah.
Like, this club in China is offering you millions. Sell me. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I want to play, and so, which is fair enough.
It's a situation where having a sulk and sitting over in the corner and saying, sell me, sell me, sell me, is a perfectly legitimate response because the coach is saying, I'm not playing you. Like, well, I want to play somewhere. So if I'm not going to play, I'm going to cause trouble until you sell me so I can go play because that's the only option I've got left. So,
hey, if the reaction was Conte going, you have to do this, this, and this to get into the team, at least Costa can go, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I've got to do this, this, and this. But Conte's reaction was, you're not playing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Costa reacted with, surely you want me to play. I've got stuff. What can I do to get in? And he would have been like, no, you're not playing. At which point, Costa's pretty legitimate to go, okay, then let me go.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was like, I'm not saying that Costa did things wrong. Like, Costa's reactions were perfectly valid given what he was being given. I mean, you say Conte wasn't even, I can't even remember what it all started off. I don't know if anybody knows what it all started off.
Apparently, it was during the Christmas barbecue.
Christmas barbecue, was this?
Yes.
Okay.
We all know Christmas brings out the best in people.
That must have been awesome. But it just progressively got worse until such point, that neither could back down from the position and Conte wasn't going to. So he just said, you're not playing.
Yeah.
And he's saying, it wasn't that he was saying you're not playing because you don't fit in the style, I need this style of striker, I need this or anything. And, just the way it was, I guess.
It's
a pity.
This is the thing, like, at least with United, like the players that are going to leave, they haven't left yet. And I think Woodward's not going to let them leave unless he gets good money for them because he's learning from one thing, at least from Daniel Levy, making deals. And so if Mourinho does leave, there is a bit of talent there at United to play with. So I think if a new manager, depends on who the new manager is. And if that player, like, for example, it's like pie in the sky, someone like Carlos Quiroz, who were to come back to United and be a temporary coach, which is completely legitimate. And like we all know Carlos Quiroz bleeds for Man United. He's been their assistant coach forever, and he knows what the club is about, and he knows the staff in the back room, and he knows it. Or even anyone else from that era, like who used to be a coach, just to be like, look, you're here for a caretaker, we're not going to keep you permanently, but unless something amazing happens, you're just here to make sure we maybe make it to Europe or get as high a position as possible, do as well as possible. And like Roberto Di Matteo was supposed to do for Chelsea, and then he accidentally won the Champions League and they had to keep him on.
He had to pretend that he was an actual coach.
Yeah. I'm like, with all due respect to Roberto Di Matteo.
That was a fluke, yes. It was, yeah. Well, it wasn't really a fluke, but it's the wrong thing. But
it wasn't a fluke, but Chelsea, yeah. This is the advantage of being nowhere in the league, where you can totally focus on that one trophy and that one game. And
yeah, exactly. And yeah, as you say, Chelsea sort of had to give Di Matteo a full contract after that, because how could you be like, yeah, thanks for winning us the Champions League. See you, bye. We've got this other guy.
Unless he was, like, retiring or something.
Yeah, because
his contract was over and he was moving to another place and had already signed for them. That would have been...
Well, the contract was over because he only signed at the end of the season. But they sort of, he was like, hey, so I won the Champions League. Can I have a job? And they're like, yes, fine. And I think it was pretty quick in the next season where it was like, yeah, you're not a head coach of a top Premier League side, buddy. You need to go off and play your trade, learn the ways, learn the arts.
This is another thing. Like, heck, it could even be someone like Steve Bruce. But you know what I mean. Somebody who knows the United way. Like, I don't think Mark Hughes would come back. I think there's a bit of... there's too much water under that bridge for that to work. But, yeah. That being said, the teams in the Championship and the Premiership, it's all looking in flux at the moment. Like, we all know that City look ominous, but teams have looked ominous at the beginning of the season and fallen through later on.
Well, yeah.
David Moyes era famously started with 3 wins. So. Yeah,
exactly. Chelsea have gone wins through the first, month and a half, 2 months, and then faded through Christmas and New Year period and struggled to come third after that. So,
yeah, I mean
it's really nothing saying that, how you start in August is not necessarily how you end in May, right?
True. And ironically, this could be a season for a club that didn't have too many players playing in the World Cup to push up and...
it's been for players.
A Leicester-esque season, shall we say. Not completely emulate what Leicester did. I think that's a once-a-decade sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But someone who can pull off something like that. Everybody has tired teams and top clubs are not doing too well. And if City start faltering at some point and all the other top clubs start imitating City, then you've got a stew going, baby. Like, there's...
Things can happen. And, like, this season's going to be interesting because it was a reasonably short... For all the players at the World Cup, it's been a reasonably short off-season. Like, especially any that were involved in the later parts of that. It's only, like, 2 or 3 weeks between the end of the World Cup and the start of the Premier League. So, you get towards the end of the season, there could be some very tired legs there. So the clubs that have less World Cup players may find themselves able to finish strong. So,
Who do you see amongst the rest being the strongest? If there is going to be a club that's going to surprise and come out, which club do you see doing that?
I guess... players there. Everton's the one that sort of got could do that. I possibly would have said Leicester City if they'd held on to Marius, but they'll never go and hold on for too long, and they finally had to let him go. So I don't know whether they've quite got the star power there now to do what they did previously, or to even get close to it. But I mean, they've still got since their Premiership winning season, they've lost a lot of their talent from that in their mainstays. They've still got a decent squad.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like they're not going to...
They don't have Champions League football.
I'm sure they'll do fine. And so they may sort themselves out and be there or thereabouts. It's only 2 games in, but Watford's looking good. And they've looked good-ish for the last few seasons. They haven't really had the staying power on it, but
they also constantly have every season their manager taken away by another club, which doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help at all. It doesn't keep your consistency going. But if they've always been strong performers, so maybe this is the season where they get to show it, because whilst they've started okay-ish, and the top clubs have started good, but if the top clubs can't hold it together because of the time, fatigue factor coming in, maybe Watford will show some ability that way. But really, I think anybody, like, it's the fun thing about the Premier League is whilst there's a definite strata of teams, at the same time, there isn't. Like, lots of teams on their day can beat anybody else. I think so.
The Premier League is at the point where, because even the poorest club, like the club that finishes 17th the season before, gets so much television money from another season of Premiership football, like there's a point where, like, the difference between being somebody who has $10 million and $1 billion is not that much. Like, your lifestyle-wise, you know, you get the nice things you can have are not that different. Because and that's why they can be competitive with each other. In a similar vein to that question, do you think we're going to see a surprise team in the Champions League potentially go really far, maybe win, but, you know, make it to the further ends, like semis and.
I guess this, I couldn't tell you any particular team, but I guess the same thing applies. Like, the top clubs in Europe have got players, their main players have been playing World Cup football not that many weeks ago, and they're all starting back relatively quickly. So the same thing applies. Like, fatigue's going to, could possibly be a factor come halfway, you know, come through December, January, February, March. And that's when you started getting into the business end of the Champions League. That's knockout football. And, you know, so some of the, you know, surprise packages or lesser teams in quotation marks, it's still Champions League, it's really lesser teams, can somehow sneak a second spot in the group or something. You know, those first few rounds of knockout football could be rather dangerous for some of the big clubs.
Yeah.
They can be tired. They've still got their own domestic league in contention. They're focusing on that. If they've got busy.
I think this is an ideal year for a team that's either already done well and clearly going to win their domestic league or completely out of winning their domestic league to do well. Quickly, who do you think, who do you see, who are the two finalists for the Champions League this year?
Well,
I mean, obviously, draws can change and all this other stuff, but.
I'm actually thinking, and it goes with this, but that maybe Juve might actually get there. Say they've got Cristiano Ronaldo, so that's instant star power. He get the job done. It's a stage he performed so well in, and you can't see that changing. It's not like Juve's got a bad team either. So, and you say they've been there or thereabouts in the last few years.
You could argue that Juve got a better player than Neymar for half the price.
Yeah. I don't actually think that's much of an argument. I think that's actually true.
To be fair, Neymar's got many more years of being Neymar than Cristiano Ronaldo has of being Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, exactly. But
that being said, it's fine to pay $100 million for a 33-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's value for money, you think. It's like, it's expensive, but. Cristiano Ronaldo, you're like, fine.
Is Juve going to sell 1 million Cristiano Ronaldo shirts?
Probably.
There you go.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a perfectly legitimate business decision on their part. And I think it may pay off for them in Champions League football. They will possibly go reasonably far there. I don't see, whilst Real's had significant changes, I actually think they'll probably still do reasonably well. There's the other spot in the Champions League final, that's the big question mark. But, like, Real's been there, like, it's 3 years in a row now, so I don't see any reason why it can't be four. Yeah, there are reasons why it can't be four. But
I mean, there's no reason why Real can't repeat what they did in the last 3 years. But it will be a very different thing to what they did the last 3 years.
Oh, definitely, it will be different. But I still think that they could possibly do it.
Because, like, with the dynasties, well, Real has had a few, obviously.
Yeah.
Their first time when they won the first five in European Cups, as they were known back then, they took another more than a decade to win one again. And they only won that single one. And then they didn't win another one until 1999.
Yeah.
So from the 60s to 30 years later. And then they won something like off the top of my head, I'm going to say 3 over 6 or 7 years.
Something like that, yeah.
So, and basically, they fired Vicente Del Bosque after he won the league and the Champions League because he wasn't cool enough to be Real's coach. And they ended up not winning until Zidane came in and won 3 in a row. And so they could go with another fallow period if history is any indication of that. All that being said, I still think Real are a very good team. I think they're going to focus on the league because they haven't won it in 3 years now. And they finished third last year. They've won 3 Champions League. It's at this point where they basically tell, if Barca win the Champions League, they'd just be like, oh, no, no, the league's what's important.
Yeah,
winning the league is what...
Bringing the Champions League, that's so passe. That's like last year.
Barca, then talk to us when you've won, like, 12, like we have. then we'll talk. But... that being said, I don't see Barca necessarily doing the Champions League again. I do think they'll be there and thereabouts in the semis, but I think at European level, the top teams just know how to play Barca. Like your PSGs, your Bayerns, even your Man United, Man Cities and Chelsea's and United's know how to play Barca. There's not that aura of invincibility that Barca had a few years back. With that being said, I have to agree with you. I think I like the idea Juve will probably make the final. I don't know if they'll win. They probably will with Cristiano Ronaldo. But I've picked that second finalist to be Manchester City because I think by the time April next year, City will have a 20-point gap over whoever is second and probably cruising along in the league, not too worried, letting their youth players play the ball around. And
still winning by a million goals
probably,
to one.
Probably, and... like, they'll probably be out of the FA Cup and League Cup by that point and just be like, oh, yeah, sweet. We've just got these two competitions to deal with. Our A team plays Champions League every 3 or 4 weeks and our B team plays in the... but you know what I mean.
B.5
team plays in the other...
Bit of rotation through the first team in the Premier League. Gives the young players a bit of a thing. Everybody's rested, so the Champions League, it matters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's also what matters to Pep because he's won 3 Champions Leagues at Barca, and that is no mean feat at all.
No.
And he's probably wants to be in that rarefied air of coaches that have won with multiple clubs. Like he wants to have.
And it sort of shows that he was part of that equation of Barcelona winning, not just the players.
Yeah.
Because the Barcelona teams. Fairly easy to win with. Maybe hard to keep everybody under control.
Everybody says that, and they forget that they nearly got relegated when Pep came in because they had to get rid of.
I was thinking like a few years after that. Once they got it all gelled and got into the Pep Guardiola style. Although I'm not trying to take away from him. I think Pep's a wonderful coach. A lot of Barcelona's success was Pep.
But he did actually inherit he did inherit a team that had won the Champions League literally 2 seasons before.
But it's always one of those things. If you're a coach and you win with one team and that team was a good team, it doesn't matter how good a coach you actually are. People can still say, well, you won with the awesome team. The players are awesome. Of course you won. But if you go to a new club, and even if the new club's got awesome players, like City has, if you do it again, you're still like, there's a common element here. Let me try it again. See, there may still be awesome players, but I get the best out of them, and we win Champions League. So, obviously, I've got something to do with that. It doesn't matter what your players are at that point. If results repeat.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, I completely agree with you on all those points, and... which is nothing to take away from a coach who's only ever won at one point. If Zinedine Zidane never coaches another team in his life, you're like, dude, he won 3. He's undefeated in the Champions League. That is, nobody else can say that.
Exactly. That's the sort of thing that you just like, yep, I'm retired, I'm done. Done with coaching, undefeated Champions League, it's fine.
It's a very astute retirement, I think, because Zidane just goes, yep, I see where the wind's blowing here, I see what's happening, and this is Real Madrid, I know what the club's like.
Yeah.
See you later, boys. Because you could tell from the face of Perez, like, when he announced his retirement, he was just like, wait, what?
Say what now?
What's happening now?
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with him because he's like, you need a new challenge, you need to refresh yourself and do it.
instead of just doing the same thing over and over again.
Being the coach under a rebuild season in Real is very, very bad for, like, your employment record.
Yeah. Yes.
I think United would be happy to let a coach be in a rebuild season if they were still finishing in the top four.
Yeah.
Which is what I think that's what the Glazers have shown consistently. If a manager can stay in the top four, they're happy to let them do whatever. Because that to them is like, look, you're still competing and you're still there or thereabouts. Yeah, and we've got Champions League football.
Got Champions
League. Which is good for the brand.
Exactly. And, you know, fourth's still pretty good in the Premier League, right? A bit of it might depend, you know. But then it's still fourth. You're competing with someone. Even if there's someone, you know, another team that's blitzing the league, you know, everybody's getting blitzed by that team. So
exactly.
It's when you start, you know, losing Champions League football or something like that, that's when the questions start coming in.
All
right.
Contact. So, well, we're very close to 50 minutes, so just before we end everything, who got the best buy of the season in the offs of the Premiership teams? Because nobody else, the other teams actually still have a window open.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think a full stop in Europe has to be Juve with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, yeah, very easy. Was it Burnley? I forget the team. One of the ones coming up who just brought a whole new team. That's just awesome. Like, coming up, we want some money from this. Yep, 11 players. Thank you. Done.
I personally think, and I may end up being wrong about this season, best buy of the season is going to end up being Serdar Shaqiri at Liverpool.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Price buy.
Yeah.
Fantastic little player who shows how good he is. And you just need somebody in that forward line who's willing to be gritty and put his body on the line and go hard.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, it's definitely a good buy. And I think, as you say, it will prove to be a very astute and very great acquisition from Liverpool. I think we'll look back and say, yeah. That major season.
I'm not sure if it was a Cantona-esque buy, but it's close to that level.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I think that's all we have time for today.
Yep.
It's good to hear from. It's good to be back, and hopefully we'll give you one soon. And see you later. See you soon.
See you next time.